I'm here with Alexander Mercurs, editor-in-chief of The Deran. Alexander, let's talk about the first day of the impeachment inquiry hoax, the circus. The circus came to town, and what we saw were a lot of clowns. And I mean, let's not make this a long video, because the whole thing is just absolutely stupid, dumb, ridiculous. We've said it all in the past, Alexander. For me, a couple of highlights, and I'll summarize what I saw. I saw even the people that were giving testimony, like Bill Taylor, William Taylor, Ambassador Taylor, was even laughing during Jim Jordan's questioning, laughing at how stupid the whole thing is. Jordan tore everybody apart. Devin Nunes gave a really great opening statement where he actually made fun of Adam Schiff when he was pranked by the two Russian comedians who said they have, you know, dirt on Trump's hotel room, you know, trysts with prostitutes, and they have the pictures. And he even made fun of that Adam Schiff fell for that. Adam Schiff gave a closing statement where he said, "I did not meet with the whistleblower ever once." I don't know why he's digging such a big hole for himself, because we all know he did. He met with the gossip blower, the man who's so sacred that no one can even mention who he is.
Yes.
It was just an absolute shit show. And it was so easy to tear it apart, Alexander. If this is what the House is doing to them under such a controlled environment by the Democrats, the Senate is going to absolutely positively destroy the Democrats if it gets to the Senate. Alexander.
I entirely agree. And I think we should actually try to keep this a short video, because the mistake we would make if we went into this in any depth is that it would seem as if this thing deserves to be taken seriously. And there is nothing serious about this performance that we saw, because none of these people, Taylor and Kent, between them, had any real evidence. The closest we got to anything that could be called evidence is when Taylor says that he heard from one of his staffers that Sondland, Ambassador Sondland, had this telephone call with Trump, and that, you know, Trump apparently was more interested in the investigations, and it's not clear what that means, than in helping Ukraine. All I can say about that is, why are we then listening to Taylor? Why are we not listening to this aide who is supposed to have heard this call? I mean, it makes absolutely no sense to me. Who is this guy? Why doesn't he come forward? We said this before. It's all second, third, fourth hand. It's all rumor. It's all gossip. It's all speculation. It came out very obviously to me that the point about Kent and the point about Taylor was that they're both absolutely obsessed with waging this relentless war that they see the United States being involved in with Russia. Kent was talking about how, you know, Russia's been the enemy for 75 years, so all the time that he's been a foreign service officer. Well, you know, I have a piece of information to pass on to him. You know, Joseph Stalin is dead. The Soviet Union doesn't exist. The world has changed in those 75 years. I mean, it's just, I just don't know. I found the whole thing just risible, to be honest. I mean, it didn't make any kind of sense to me as any sort of investigation. I think, as you rightly say, Jordan was at his most, his toughest and his funniest. And I think, as you also rightly said, I thought Nunes' opening statement was superb. And by the way, it's clearly rattled some of the Democrats, because I saw that in The Guardian, the London Guardian, which is the sort of even more of a mouthpiece, by the way, I think, than the New York Times and the Washington Post are. They set Richard Wolff, who is this sort of Democrat hatchet man, who The Guardian gets columns from, to sort of try and ridicule Nunes's piece. And I didn't think that succeeded at all. But the fact that they focused on it in that way shows that they were actually rattled by it. If this is the best they can do, then frankly, they haven't got anything.
They're going to get slaughtered in the Senate, Alexander.
Absolutely.
I'm going to make a prediction now. I think after Pelosi saw this, she's going to say this cannot get to the Senate.
Yeah. Well,
that's my prediction. You have to be the dumbest of the dumb, of the effing dumbest effing people in the world to actually trust Adam Schiff, go through with the impeachment and take this to the Senate.
Yes, yes. I mean, the other thing is, again, and this is where Nunes was, you know, I thought spot on. Everybody that, you know, the Republicans want to hear from, you know, we're not going to hear from. We're not going to hear from Hunter Biden, even though he's supposed to be the person who Trump was wanting to have investigated. So, you know, he's obviously a material person in this story, but, you know, we're not going to hear from him. We're not going to hear from the so-called whistleblower who Adam Schiff has never had any dealings with. He doesn't even know what his name is. He's no idea who this guy is. This is someone he's never heard of, you know, at all. He only knows about him as a whistleblower. And the fact that he started this entire impeachment thing rolling, well, that's completely inconsequential because, you know, we don't really need him for our impeachment. So, I mean, you know, it becomes borderline stupid. As I said, if they're getting all these things from all these second and third and fourth, you know, other people, let's hear them. Let's hear those people. As I said, if Donald Trump really did say those things to Sondland and somebody overheard him saying it, let's hear that person who says he overheard it. Note, Taylor didn't identify this person by name.
Yeah, Ratcliffe asked everybody to say, what is the crime here? What is Trump being impeached for? He asked the whole panel, Ratcliffe, and everyone just sat there silent. I mean, you could hear crickets. No one could even say what the hell Trump did wrong or if this was an impeachable offense. None of them.
None of them
understood what the hell they're doing there. Not one person.
Alex, we've been saying this from the get-go, from the start. What is the crime? Even if it's not a crime, what is the violation of the law? I mean, when back in the 1860s, they tried to impeach Andrew Johnson, a piece of ancient history that, you know, very few people remember, but which I've studied. The Republican Congress had to construct a law, which, by the way, was subsequently found to be unconstitutional, which they maneuvered Andrew Johnson into breaking. So at that point, it was accepted that you had to have a law. When Richard Nixon was impeached, he'd done things which were serious criminal acts, or was alleged to have. And with Bill Clinton, well, he'd definitely gone along and given evidence in a court, which was clearly untrue about his relationship with Monica Lewinsky. What has Donald Trump actually done that breaks any law at all? I don't see it. Tell me. Please tell me. Schiff talks about bribery. Bribing whom? Does he even know what bribery is exactly? We hear about extortion. How do you extort a country? I mean, if Ukraine is the victim of this extortion, how do you extort a country? Of course, I mean, at a certain level, the United States does or puts pressure on countries all the time. But extortion is a criminal offence of a country? You will find no statute in any legal code that says anything like that. So I come back to this. What is the crime here? Ratcliffe is absolutely right to ask the question. And the fact that none of them could provide an answer shows how utterly phony this whole thing is.
Yeah, they looked really stupid. Alexander, a couple of things so we can wrap up this video, because it was just... they just got destroyed. I don't have any other words for it. They got destroyed. They got destroyed. Anyway, you actually had a Democrat congressman, I forgot who it was, who actually made the claim that hearsay is more reliable than real factual evidence. So that's the new narrative now. So the U.S. is going to be built on that narrative. The U.S. legal justice system will be built on that narrative. Hearsay is now above actual factual evidence. Okay, let's go with that. If I'm to understand, Alexander, Adam Schiff Adam Schiff's staff has more information on this gossip blower, knows who it is. But Adam Schiff, who's the big boss, has no idea. So his staff is running the whole show. He's just sitting there, kind of sitting at his desk, you know, twiddling his thumbs, doing nothing. Yeah. And his staff knows all this stuff going on. That's what we're supposed to believe now. I mean, this is getting to the point of absolute absurd. And you have a bunch of Washington bureaucrats who are basically making so much money, have made so much money the past 50 years, sitting in their desk off of this Cold War, Russia is the enemy mentality, that they don't want to give it up. That's what it's all about. They're making all kinds of money off of this Russia thing. They don't want to give it up, and they're pissed off that they might lose that gravy train, Alexander, to wrap it up.
Absolutely, that's exactly what it is. I mean, first of all, the suggestion that hearsay is more reliable than direct fact evidence. Well, let's dispense with evidence. Let's have no investigators. Let's just try everybody on gossip. I mean, that will make a really exciting and interesting justice system in the United States. I mean, it's such a zany suggestion that I really just can't begin to even get my head around it. What I will say about that, as an idea, by the way, is that there's been these constant claims. I'm seeing them even written by people I greatly respect, that impeachment is a purely political process and that normal rules of evidence and due process don't apply. I have to say, I strongly disagree with that view. I don't speak now, obviously, as an American citizen, but it seems to me that impeachment clearly derives from English, the English rules of impeachment that were developed in the 17th century and 18th century. And there is no doubt at all that in according to that tradition, proper rules of evidence and due process most certainly did apply. And it would be extraordinary when the person who is being impeached is the President of the United States, no less, if they did not apply. So the whole story, you know, hearsay, you know, is more reliable than actual evidence. I mean, let's treat it with the contempt and derision that it deserves. And as for these two State Department bureaucrats, I think you sum them up correctly. I mean, to me, if I have to say it, they look like absolute characters out of a cartoon, just as you said in a comment we had just before we started this program. I mean, if you want to have a sort of comic book image of what a State Department official looks like, you couldn't do better than with these two.
Bill Taylor.
And you're absolutely right. They've been living all their lives, as you said, drawing big salaries, playing this chess game that they think they're playing against the Russians. They've been doing very well out of it. It's their comfort zone, and they don't want to leave it. And they're really very angry with Donald Trump because he's suggesting that, you know, the right thing for the United States is to leave it, as has been made, the point that's been made by a great many people. Now, Tucker Carlson made it. The only real grievance these people have against Donald Trump is they don't like his Russia policy, or they don't like what they think is his Russia policy, and what they are afraid his Ukraine policy might be. Never mind that Donald Trump has supplied arms to Ukraine, which Barack Obama never did. The fact is, because Donald Trump has said things about the United States needing to have a rapprochement with Russia, clearly they don't like him, clearly they don't trust him, because they see their entire careers and their entire world, the entire world they very happily lived in, going to pieces. But all right, you know, you can understand where those people are coming from, that the whole of the United States is captured and is a prisoner of this process. It's not the blame of these people. It's the blame of the Democrats and of people like Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff. Adam Schiff for presiding over this circus, Nancy Pelosi for allowing him to.
All right, Alexander Mercurius, editor-in-chief of The Durant. Thank you very much, guys. If you like this video, click the subscribe button down below. Click the notifications bell to make sure you get notifications when we push out a new video. Check us out on SoundCloud and on iTunes for an audio broadcast of this video. Check us out on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Please donate to our channel so you can keep this channel moving. And also check us out on Telegram, where we post just about everything on Telegram without any type of censorship whatsoever. And also go to BitChute and DurantVideo.com, which is our own platform, and BitChute, which is a great video platform where we post all our videos there as well. And we don't worry about any type of censorship on those platforms either. And Alexander, the Durant shop, to pick up all kinds of great merchandise.
Indeed.
And yes, Alexander.
Like these magic mugs. But before I get on to that, can I also endorse fully everything Alex has just said about our new platforms? We are extremely pleased with the way they're developing. We're extremely happy. In fact, we're thrilled at the interest people are showing in them. We have great hopes of them. We see them as a huge way of expanding our reach and of providing our analysis and our commentary to more and more people in a, as Alex says, less constrained way. So please support us by referring to them. But you know, you can also support us in all sorts of other ways. Alex has mentioned them. One of them is by going to our shop, buying fantastic things like these great magic mugs that the Durant makes, 15 ounces, beautiful porcelain, incredibly wonderful to hold and to drink from. Keep my tea, which I certainly need to have tea on a cold day like this, warm for long times. So we have these beautiful mugs. This one has the emblem of the Russian Federation on it. And we also have our great shirts, the polo shirt I'm wearing now, with the emblem of the Durant, which is a different sort of double-headed eagle from that of the Russian Federation. You can see it points to east and west. It's covers every area of the world, as we on the Durant try to do. And all our shirts are 100% cotton. They're all a very high quality. They're highly durable. I've worn mine extensively now in all sorts of places, including, you know, mountains and near rivers and near the seaside and in cold weather and hot weather. And they are as good as new. So they're highly durable. And we've got lots of types of shirts. We've got the kind of polo shirts I'm wearing now. We've got long sleeve T-shirts. We've got short sleeve T-shirts. We've got V-neck shirts. We've got hoodies. We've got hats. We've got stickers. We've got great things. So help the Durant. Go to our shop. Alex will tell you how to do it.
Just go to thedurantshop.com. You'll find the link in the description box down below. And I apologize for my lighting. It's a little dark. I'm in a hotel room, so let's hope this video comes out all right. Anyway, Alexander Mercurius, editor-in-chief of The Durant. Thank you very much. Till next time, everybody. Take care.